Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, the solution, and joining me today is the architect.
Solution, how are you going?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Living the dream, buddy.
Good stuff. With me is Jez.
Hey.
How are you, brother?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm good, thank you. And with me is the Windsock 2000. Welcome.
G'day, mate. Thank you.
How are you, mate?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good, good. Now, I do need to start with something serious, which I know is very off-brand. It's been something I've been thinking about all week and whether I address it or not. But what I'll start by saying is I hate cancel culture. And I think we're all too quick to jump on people when they, you know, when somebody does something wrong. Who hasn't made a mistake here? Anybody who says that is a liar. I just think we're too quick to jump on people that do the wrong thing without giving the chance to apologise, atone for their mistake and all that sort of thing. But we did have somebody who's a podcast member of ours do something which I think is, look, I'm not saying we're going to ban them from the podcast, but maybe they need a hiatus. The Richmond game 2 weeks ago, a member of our podcast actually left with 5 minutes to go, 12 points down, to beat the traffic.
Oh, no.
Architect, can you stand in the docks?
Oh, I thought you were. No, don't know what you're talking about, mate. Didn't happen. deny.
Now's your chance to atone. To apologise, what do you have to say for yourself before I put it to the panel to pronounce judgment on whether you are banned for life or not? What the fuck happened, mate?
Look, I blame the wife. I'll be honest, I never leave early even when we're getting pumped. But she was like, I want out. It was like, fine. I folded too easily though, so I admit it. We left early and we missed the best part of the game.
I know you're married to somebody with questionable bloodlines, but to me that's not good enough. You can get multiple wives. You're only ever going to have one football club. So I'll open it to the panel. Windsock 2000, do you want to... I mean, he is your daddy after all. He made you. Are you ashamed of your father?
Ashamed. That's the name that comes to it. That's the word that comes to mind for sure. He can't leave. No. No, it's got to be an absolute blowout or some kind of incident. And then
I think
that's the only excuses. I generally stay for the blowouts.
Look, just, there's just an acceptable... sorry, you go.
My own misery. Like, yeah, it's just a part of being an Essendon supporter, isn't it?
Well, that's right. That's right. I mean, if you want fair weather, you go and support another team. But, I mean, I do think you can stay within the confines of sort of the precinct and go to the bar. I think that's legitimate. But leaving and going home, I'm speechless. Jez, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad you did that little back pedal at the end then, because you and I left at the 8 minute mark of the third quarter last year.
Oh, fuck. What'd you bring that up for?
The Port game. We did go to the bar. It wasn't within the precinct, it was across the road, but. No, look, we were sitting with someone that night, Rich, the Dreamtime game, who left at half time, and he left at half time because his wife, who was minding three young children, was feeling suddenly so unwell that she'd taken herself to emergency.
Yeah,
emergency. So, I mean, it's not borderline; it's probably just over the borderline of acceptable. But architect, that's an utter disgrace, and. Lucian, you have full authority, I think, to just deal with that summarily as you see fit.
So I'm just going to throw out there, Jez, on the statement that you opened with, it's going to be a very, very short list of people that are going to be part of the pod next week with Solution when you wipe out yourself at Jez.
No, but we stayed, we watched the game just in the bar and we stayed beyond the game. Look, I think missing probably the best 5 minutes of home and away footy I can remember for a long time is punishment enough. That's my opinion. You missed, mate. you know the beauty about this? Mrs. Architect complains that, you know, you've maybe washed her business shirts with a bath mat, or you leave a coffee mug on a coffee table, or you cheat on her. You can turn around and say, I didn't say we need to leave 5 minutes to go. So I think that's the benefit.
I'll write these, you know, wise words down so I don't forget them.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll move on. But yeah, you missed a cracker, mate. And I just feel sorry for you. Anyway, so this time last week, we had a podcast, Jez, that you were on, and the correspondent, and I said, I posed the question, I think we can make the eight. And you guys just dismissed me offhand. As the meme goes, neck minute, we're seventh. When you were like Fonzie, it only took you a week to be proven wrong.
Well, there's a long way to go. And I think we actually
I think we're eight now.
Yeah, we're eight now. Oh, fairly cogent, reasoned analysis as to why we thought we'd just fall one game short. So, yeah, there's a long way to go, but it is the result of what an amazing sort of series of results this weekend that have left us in eighth. I mean, who could have picked all those results?
Yeah, well, I did say that, you know, we can't just expect those teams above us to win every week. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Sydney versus Carlton. I mean, we expect Carlton to lose, of course. We'll talk about them later.
Yes.
Hawks upsetting Saints. Amazing.
Frio. Saturday was ridiculous. Every single result that came through, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. It's next. Next is going to be us. That's what I was feeling.
That's what I want to lead into, Winsock 2000. So Frio and GWS away from home both won, beating Melbourne and Geelong respectively. We will lose. If you looked at Twitter, you would think we were 10 goals down yesterday. So is this a reflection on maybe how far we've come in such a short space of time that we're unhappy with being 30, 40, and what ultimately ended up being 50-plus points at the end of the game?
People have lost their minds, I think. What do you expect a team to go out and just beat another AFL football team, no matter who they are, by 100 points? This doesn't happen. It's a rarity. It's a, you know, once in a, you know, half a season, you know, like, I think a 50 point win's brilliant. Can't ask for anything more. We did well, no injuries, I believe. Couple players came back, put in a good effort. Couple players that haven't played very much before put in another good shift and a good game. Happy days, move on.
So, Architect, would you agree that West Coast actually showed a fair bit of endeavour and fight?
Yeah, I would. I'll be honest, I haven't watched pretty much any West Coast games this year, but from what I heard from the highlights that I saw against the Hawthorn game, they were witch's hat. So
nobody has, by the way. Nobody's watching West Coast this year. Why would you?
Exactly. But yeah, no, I was surprised by how much fight they had in the dog for who they kind of had in. But in saying that, when you look at the age bracket of the players that were actually in, we're still a younger side than they are.
Hmm.
Yeah, and less games as well. Yeah, that's it. How you look at it. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I was surprised that they had that much fight in them, but As the Winsock 2000 said, I'll take a 50-point any day of the week, regardless of who it is.
All right, well, I'm going to pause on you. You're going to do the awards today. So do you want to start with what you liked, good players? And I think there's a debate on both sides, by the way. I think there's a list. I think there's one standout for the Henneman, in my opinion. But, yeah, we'll see what you have to say. Start with the herd, mate.
There was a couple of, I think, three or four that really stood out for me. So I thought Merritt had a great game. I thought Redmond had a great game. I think Nick Martin was outstanding. So they're for me, they're probably the best three players that I saw that were running around last night. And for me, I would say that the herd, I'd give it to Nick Martin. When you kind of look back and say it's his second year, just the use, how he uses the ball, the angles that he kind of creates and just basically opens up the game. I suppose he's a risk taker, but when he does, he kind of looks like it's always going to hit a target.
Yeah, now, I don't know, is Mrs. Architect in the background telling you to hurry up to beat traffic? Because you just went straight to it. You meant to, like, tease it out, take your time, we can have the conversation. But obviously, I hope you're not this fast in the bedroom. But anyway, Nick Martin was brilliant. I don't reckon, Jez, on this podcast we've spoken enough about him. He's kind of been pretty consistent, but, you know, I don't know, but he's been almost like a second-tier, B-grade type of player up until now. I don't mean that negatively. I mean, you know, he hasn't quite been in our best each week, but his ball use in traffic is as good as anyone, I think, going around.
Yeah, I think it's he stood out majorly last night because he seemed to be able to do what no one else could do in our side, and that was just handle the ball cleanly, step through traffic, hit targets, hit real targets, proper targets with difficult kicks. And he just sort of cruised around like he was on another plane. And it was the best game I've seen him play for a long time. And I don't think I've seen him play a bad one, but he just stood out last night because so many of our other players just seemed that half a step off. There was a bit of fumble. There was a few hand passes were going, you know, going behind the player, and kicks weren't hitting targets. But he just seemed so assured and so clean. He was fantastic. I give a big he was for me the clear herd last night.
I thought it was some of our class players, experienced players, that really helped steady the ship when the heat was on. Winstock 2000 in particular. I think of Langford. I think of Stringer, Draper.
Yeah, Ridley as well.
Ridley.
Even McGrath was pretty good as well. But yeah, I thought Martin's game was incredible, and I think I'd take it back to our pre-season podcast. I think it was myself who had him for herd of the year.
You did.
And you, Solution, I think, yes, had him down for second year Blues or something like that.
No, I wouldn't have done that. Was that the same podcast I said Jai Menzies is going to be a star?
Not sure if you said that, but it could have been. But no, he's going beautifully. I love him. He's one of my absolute favourite players at the moment. And he just seems to be going from strength to strength. But yeah, there are a lot of good performances on the day. And I think another player, you said Menzies, I think that was probably his best game as well, which was nice to see.
Anyone else? Jez, you put your hand up.
I did. The one player, this is my sycophantic contribution solution. There's one player who I think really had a fantastic game, and that was Hobbsy. And it's sycophantic because I listened to Fiona's forecast a day or two before the game, and I was pretty sure it was your good self who nominated him for this Smokin'.
Yep, Smokin' Joe.
And I thought he was awesome. His goals from distance, and then that snap at the end, you know, he was absolutely in the contest, in the heat. didn't have a sort of off game. I thought he was really in the trenches, and we saw the sort of player he can be.
He did have a shocking start, though. Do you not disagree? Like, he was tackled a number of times, and I thought he was... I think I commented on Twitter, the only difference between him and Adair in the headlights was a taxidermist.
I didn't notice that. That was good.
Yeah, there was one or two that he kind of held on. He's just looking for the right option. That's going to... I think that happens sometimes when you try and take the game on.
He is 19, and I know he looks like he's absolute beast. But, you know, those kicks, did he kick one or two from, like, outside 50 or on the 50? I think he got one. Just fantastic. Fantastic.
He's a fantastic set shot. The other thing I'm liking is our goal kicking, and the guy who I think Architect should never, ever play away from the forward line is Langford. He doesn't need many opportunities. He's just class, isn't he?
Absolutely. So the call out, thank God Laverde's back, which meant we could guarantee that we'd keep him down forward. Because I suppose when the game was kind of early going, he was the difference in the forward line. Just looked like he could basically get whatever he got his hands on.
Anything else about the game plan on the positive side of the coin that we want to talk about? I think I saw another finger up, Jez.
Look, I always like a stat, and the stat of the week this week is that we actually lost inside 50s. We only got 46, they got 48. You know, that's only a loss of two. But it was interesting that we had a 50-point win and looked in control for most of the game and only had it inside 46 times. And that's the third lowest for us for this year. So something was going right once we got it in there, whether it was the goal kicking or just the conversion or something. Getting it in there was the problem, but once it was in there, we did really, really well.
I want to ask, you go out.
Sorry, yeah. I thought we again changed up the game plan a little bit. Like, we, at times we looked to really push and move the game on and break lines and play offensively. And then other times we're able to just really control the game, chip, you know, kick mark, and really work our way through their defence. So yeah, it was just interesting to me that you see really clear strategies kind of start and stop throughout the game based on the conditions. And you know, that possibly is why we didn't get as many inside 50s, is because we were maybe a little bit more patient than usual.
And isn't this just such a contrast that we have this tactical versatility and we're able to pivot mid-game? And I think we'll get to the commentary later, but one of the few things the commentators did say, which provided some kind of insight, was when they said it, you know, West Coast were really intent on stopping us from playing that possession game and doing what we'd done the previous week with the short kicks. But we have this ability to adapt. And back in the shit truck days, or even in the Woosha days, it was just, we played our game, and if we were losing, it was just bad luck. We just kept trying to play it. And usually, more often than not, it would just result in a loss. But we've got this ability mid-game to change what we're doing.
I think the ability to do that really helps our defence. Slow it down a bit. Get our team able to reset and have proper structures. It's made a huge difference. Like, yeah, I mean, they only scored like 40-something points, right? So actually, defense been good.
Yeah, and they missed a lot of shots. And I want to ask, was it coincidence that they were always sort of having shots from the boundary and sort of 40, 35, 50 metres out, hugged to the boundary most times or on an angle? And was that a result of us clogging the corridor, Architect? Or did you? Were they just leading to the pocket for shits and giggles?
Oh, that was probably probably a bit of both, wherever the space was. They were clearly trying to use all of the ground to push us, to make us run. You could kind of see it from the back 50. They weren't afraid to switch and go to the open side of the ground to try and cut us open. So it probably led to they were constantly just leading to the area in which had the most space. Hence, they were shooting wide.
Anyone else? Anyone wants to shout out that hasn't been mentioned?
Apple pretty good as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a string of games. Yeah,
solid.
String of games of solid games now.
Yeah. Putting together a good... He's certainly cemented himself. You can see there's an absolute role for him in the team. And the start of the season, there are a lot of questions about whether there was some... Yeah, really, really happy for him.
Yes, I agree.
It's the best footy he's been playing for years.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years.
Is it just the role that's changed, or is it confidence? And does, therefore, Brad Scott deserve some credit for giving him that confidence?
I think he must be healthier than he has been. Wasn't he always injured? He always had a thumb or a wrist or something, or a finger.
Yeah,
he always...
All kinds of stuff.
He always had all sorts of stuff going on with his body, and his body seems right. I don't know where he's learnt to mark. He keeps taking these marks nowadays.
I think he's realised he's tall suddenly.
Yeah.
Like, how
he's
tall
realised he's tall, he's strong.
I think we've shouted out nearly everyone in the team, but I just want to add one more. Mass came on, I don't know, for a quarter and a half, quarter and a bit. Jeez, I thought he was good when he came on. He took his opportunities and really threw himself into the game. He was fantastic.
That's 2 weeks in a row that he's played that role and done that job. Now, Architect, try not to brush through them in 30 seconds. Otherwise, this podcast will be short.
Do you want me to go through the list in number order and just give them a ranking out of 10? Is that what you like? Or
Just a happy medium, please. Is it too much to ask?
Yes, it is.
Give us some Henneman nominations.
All right, so...
Maybe talk more broadly about what didn't work.
All right, so I don't think Nick Bryant had a great game. I know it's his first one in, but he was kind of unsighted.
Let me ask you a question. Was he worse than Phillips the previous few weeks?
No, I don't think you can... I did see him on the TV. That, I suppose you're right in that sense. I don't think I've seen a game that bad in quite a while, that Phillips one. So, no, he was around, but I would have liked a bit more from him, understanding, you know, it's obviously first game of the year for him in the seniors. But I think, yeah, to be tactically subbed off, I don't know if they made the right call with that one. Another kind of nominee, this one hurts, is Waller. I just don't think he had any real kind of impact on the game.
I think he had an impact on the game. I think it was a negative impact, to be honest. And I hate to say it as well, but he was giving away free kicks. He looks really tired. So that mark he took in the forward line, I could tell he could miss it. He was going to miss it because he was just blowing.
Yeah.
Windsock 2000, you want to?
Yeah, no. Didn't look confident at all, did he? And if he looked kind of half a step slow in previous weeks, he's now a full step slow, unfortunately. So, yeah, probably buys coming up, probably a good time to give him a couple of weeks rest, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Still got a couple of chances, didn't he? That's the magic of the bloke, right? Mm-hmm. He can have the worst game and he probably could have had 2 goals pretty easily, actually. But, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yep.
When he's not sticking tackles and he's just not... He wasn't getting any of that separation that he normally gets when the ball hits the ground. And he didn't have that composure when kicking for goal. Anyone else, Architect?
Oh, no. I thought Weedman was a bit quiet. Well, clearly, the ball didn't go up there as much as it did for West Coast. But again, I don't know if it's a tactic of how we're kind of moving it in the forward line, or of just having Langford up there
just means he's not getting a look.
Just to be fair to Wiedemann, there were multiple occasions where it was Wiedemann and Waller against three West Coast players. And I don't know how that was happening. That was, yeah. I think he was up against
probably also to bit. Call out that Hobbs did pick his pocket that was a kick right for him. And
maybe a chest mark for him. Hobbs just leaked out of his skin to grab that one.
Bit of hungriness.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then maybe another one, again, not a bad game, but quiet compared to the last week would be our mate Sammy Durham. A little much more quiet than he was last week against Richmond.
Well, if you'd have stayed for the last 5 minutes last week, Architect, you would have seen Sammy do enough to get a leave pass for the next month.
Unfortunately, I wasn't, so he doesn't get one.
Anyone, Jez, that you think maybe deserves some spotlight?
I'm a massive Zerk fan. I thought he was beaten.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was beaten. You know, he doesn't have a great body language when he's down, and I think he got down pretty early.
Yeah, I'd like to play poker against him because he kind of wears his heart on his sleeve.
Exactly, yeah. But Oscar
Allen... On his long sleeve.
Yes, Oscar Allen's very good. Occasionally, I think it was Waterman, I can't remember, but whatever it was, he just was not his usual self and got beaten.
I think he missed Baldwin down there. His running mate. Well, and yeah. Maybe, did Laverde, how do we think Laverde went as his first came back?
Wasn't spectacular.
No.
It's a hard game to judge. I think there were probably six or eight players that you dislike. You know, that's an alright. You know, it's a pass. Nothing. They didn't do anything bad. They didn't do anything great.
I mean, let's face it. Essendon of last year or the year before would have coughed that one up.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah. It's a good point. And Brad Scott spoke about it that. You know, I'm paraphrasing completely, but you've got to win ugly sometimes, and you against a team that's on the bounce and trying to prove the footy world wrong and has been criticised all week. They came to play. We stood up, and although it wasn't pretty at times, we got the job done, and in the end, it was quite comfortable.
It looked in control pretty much the whole time. Like, we were just steadily building that lead over four quarters. There was no run. You know, run on goals for them. There were no extended periods where we felt like not in control of the game. So that's really mature, isn't it?
It is, but there is one thing that doesn't make sense to say we're in control of the game. Because at one point in the first half, the commentator said we were rattled by West Coast. We might have been 25 points up at the time. Now, I don't think I was joking when I said I turned the commentary off. I literally turned the commentary off, and I literally watched the entirety of the first half on mute, and I had a little bit of music going, and then I had some soccer on in the background that I was watching, and I was listening to. It was a much better experience in the second half. In all seriousness, what the fuck are we paying for with KO? Like, I'm already wavering.
So fucking done.
Like, with all the glitches, I don't watch really anything else. I watch a little bit of NBA. I watch, you know, they have some Scottish Premier League and some Italian football and some championship football that I watch a little bit of here and there. But I'm really wavering on why I'm bothering to pay this. I'd rather just go to the pub. I'd rather go to Kramer's. And sit there with a couple of old blokes propping up the bar and just watch it there over a shitty pot of Carlton draft. Like, why am I paying for this shit? That commentary was just disgraceful. Who wants to... Can anyone disagree?
I could barely understand the commentary because my fucking game was buffering every minute. I was fucking losing it, mate. I'm I've sent in a ticket to the bloody KO support.
KO support like?
Have you tried to turn your fucking TV on and off? It's like, what are you talking about, mate? Everything else works. It's only KO. It's the only service I have trouble with. Like, what the fuck? And then he says, like, send me a screenshot. It's a fucking TV, mate. Can you only screenshot a fucking TV? And what am I going to show you? A buffering screen? What the fuck's that going to do? That's not diagnostics, is it? Fucking hell. For $30 a month, I'm losing it over it. It's the most expensive thing going around.
Yeah, a bit of irony, architect, the Winsock 2000 complaining about buffering and... what do you think about, architect, about the commentary and KO in general?
I don't have the buffering issues, I'll be honest. I clearly kept all the good bandwidth for myself, Winsock 2000, apologies. The commentary was horrendous. I think at some point we were 30, 40 points up and they're talking about the West Coast have got us rattled. It's like, I don't know, I must have been watching another game because you would have thought West Coast were winning by 100 points based on the commentary. It was extremely one-sided. I get it. They've got commentators from the West, so they're only interested in kind of talking about what they know. I should have turned the sound off because it was horrendous. It takes a bit of the joy out of actually watching the game when you just sit there, just absolute frustration of the words that are, you know, the commentators are just spewing at us.
The thing that got me, Jez, was just like the barracking for umpiring decisions as well.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It's every week like that. Yes. There's a questionable 50-50 or even a clear free kick to an Essendon player, they'll be absolutely silent. And as soon as they get a sniff for their team, which is basically any team but Essendon, they're carrying on like fucking pork chops. It's unbelievable.
It sounded like we were being allowed to watch like the West Coast members like press red for Ed sort of version of the game. They were clearly commentating for a Perth audience, a WA audience, and we were just kind of allowed to listen, and it was just shit.
It was.
I did notice one other thing that kind of threw me off is that Pavlich's voice is almost identical to Brereton's.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Oh, sorry, I was just swearing. thinking about another Brereton. I honestly think I'm going to cancel KO. What's the latest with the dodgy streams? Anyone got a steer?
Yeah, I'm sure we can set something up coming through Russia. That'd be fine.
There used to be He's Goal, which had everything. It got shut down recently, unfortunately. But no, I'm dead serious. I'm $30 a month. Fucking life is expensive these days, as we all know. Inflation's rampant, and this is a product that just continues to be substandard. I get the buffering, but what happens with me is it happens a little bit here and there, but then I'll suddenly realise I'm 3 minutes behind the live.
Yeah, the live,
and that's why. You'll see all
these. You're getting texts and tweets and stuff that hasn't happened yet. Stop. Everything stopped. Just let me catch up here.
Yeah. All right.
At least when Architect got home last week, he was able to watch the last 5 minutes live.
Yeah. You will not live that down. He's shaking his head.
No, I've got no defence, so just have to pop it on.
You do. All right. Anything else on the game that we haven't touched on that we want to discuss? Nothing?
No, well, it wasn't one for the replay, really. Just put it on the shelf and move on.
That's right. 50 points? I mean, you know, start of the game, you're taking it. Yes. This time last year, we go over to West Coast to win by 54 points. Would you take it? Absolutely. We're in the eight. Some players coming back too in the reserves. Jez, you're normally the VFL correspondent. Did you go? Did you see any of it?
No. I watched. No, I didn't watch any of it. I checked in quite often early in the game. We got smashed.
Undermanned team, yeah.
I don't know. But Nick Cox played, that which was a good thing, and seemed to be okay.
Playing in the back line, apparently.
Hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that's awesome to have him fit and playing. But that's all I've got for you.
Did Sardis play, or is he next week?
Jez was shaking his head, which doesn't really work on a podcast.
Oh, he didn't play today. I don't know if he's next week. I don't know, but yeah.
All right.
I thought he was close.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he is. And 2 meter Peter is not far away either, is he?
Yeah, that's what people are saying, that the potential chance even for this week. Don't know why you'd bother unless you. Played him for a half or something.
Surely it would make sense to me that you give him the bye and give him till after the bye and then try and get a really solid second half of the season out of him. But
yeah,
I think I'm starting to believe in Brad We Trust. He seems to make the right move most times. All right. Now we're going to move to the next segment. It may not be a segment, but whose baby was crying? Or was that the cat?
It's a cat. It wants out. It's not getting out.
I know Geelong lost. But, anyway, the Judas watch. Now, I don't think Danaher played a great game, by the way, today, did he? Is that right?
Collectively as a team, they didn't play very well. I think they only got like 4 or 5 marks inside 50 for the whole game or something ridiculous like that.
Well, I did see...
I think he got a couple of snags.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we spoke a few weeks ago. I wanted to basically retire Judas Watch, sort of throw out the olive branch, and Jez said no, and... others said, Christina said, hell no. And so it's sort of on ice, at least for the time being. But Jez had a great idea. He said, why don't we pivot from Judas Watch to Blues Watch, which I thought is an outstanding idea. And once again, he's laughing on mute, which doesn't help the podcast. Yeah, great, terrific idea. And what we were going to do was troll some of the Blues social media and maybe just highlight some of the outstanding tweets and comments. Jez, great idea of yours. Well done. What do you think?
I've prepared a short statement to read. To my darling wife and 2 Carlton supporting boys, this segment was not my idea and I do not endorse it. I tried to get it deferred until after we play you in 2 weeks, and I tried to boycott the show tonight in protest, but I was overpowered, so all I can do is mute my mic for this segment and sit out of it. I'll be making no further Carlton-related comments until approximately 10 p.m. on Sunday, the 11th of June. That's the end of the statement.
Well, I might let you off the hook, and I'll tell you why, because there's just too many of them. And at least with Judas Watch, you could type in Danaher, and you get 4 or 5 gold pieces of gold just before the podcast. There's just so much to sort of trawl through. It's just too many. One thing I did want to point out, and Jez, you cannot deny this, you sent to the Winsock chat the accounts, and I want to shout out the account because it's not a bad account. Blue Abroad. So that was you, was it not? You can't deny it.
Guilty.
Guilty. Now, obviously, I'm a Premier League fan, and this is a well-worn path, the fan channel. And what I actually did, after the game against Sydney, I actually watched the entirety, entire hour and a half of their... of their fan cams or whatever. Tremendous entertainment. But this is the best bit about it for me is, like, we have zero analysis here, as we all know, and we consider ourselves to be complete fan channel. Don't pretend to be anything other than that. Don't pretend to give any kind of insight. These guys on Blue Abroad, I don't know if it's just because of the time I'm seeing them and they're just at their lowest ebb. There's zero analysis. There's zero diagnosis of what's going wrong. It's just, we're shit. We're fucked. We're stuffed. It's all gone to shit. The best. What was that? I can't hear you, mate. So, we're impersonating one of them. Yeah, it's hilarious. But the one that I did laugh at was this guy came on and said, "Is this true? They've got 16 players out of contract." Apparently, Jez, one of the guys said, "I don't want to renew any of them. I want them all gone." Can you imagine losing 16 off your list? Can we just pause without going through the tweets and everything else? Can we just pause and enjoy it for the moment? Winsock 2000, do you want to? What do you think?
Oh, it's great to see. There's a lot of content out there that would put a smile on your face. There's nothing better than the Blues being crap. It's just brilliant.
Agree, architect.
Yeah, there's no love for Carlton. So whenever they're shit in the bed, you've got to enjoy it while it lasts.
Exactly. And Jez, I granted you might be literally sleeping in the doghouse tonight, but you must be enjoying it. And what's happening at the kitchen table? How's the family? How are the boys really feeling about it? Or are they kind of just, have they taken the lead from you over the past decade and they know how to lose well?
I'll be making no further Carlton-related comment until about 10 p.m. on Sunday, the 11th of June, which is just after we've played them.
Yeah, it's a good point. But that's why we've got to enjoy it now, because we know form goes out the window and they're just as likely to beat us. All right, enough of that frivolity. So moving to next week, and North look like it looks like they had a credible performance against the Pies today. Lost by 35, but it wasn't a thrashing. And looks like they're moving into the realm of competitiveness. And they're another team like West Coast that just love to kind of lift to play against this architect. What's your thoughts? Any fears for next week?
Oh, not fears. I suppose I'm kind of probably looking at next week and expecting kind of a similar performance that we saw last night. It's not going to be pretty. I'm just hoping that they come with the same kind of mentality just to grind it out, not expecting an actual thumping of North Melbourne. Again, just a workman performance.
About these Pies and the North Melbourne, here's an example of the difference of language of how the AFL users around the Pies. Apparently, after today, and I didn't watch the game, I couldn't give a shit, to be honest, about the Pies and North. But the Pies, apparently, to beat the bottom or second bottom side, put on a clinic to dismantle the Roos. Now, if I'm looking at the score, a clinic apparently is a 35-point win. We beat Eagles at their home in fucking, who the fuck knows where, WA. I've never even fucking been there. I don't even know if it exists, to be honest. And we win by 50 points. This is nothing. Oh, yeah, the Eagles were fucking great, yeah. Oh, the Bombers almost bloody, you know, lost the unlosable. The Collingwood's having this fucking, dismantled North. Fuck off. It's just ridiculous.
I love it. I agree entirely. Yeah, they do. They are the darlings. God, I wish we had beaten them. That still hurts, that one.
That's really bad.
So what do you think, Winsock 2000, about next week? Or will we put on a clinic, or will it just be called a...
Oh, no. It won't be a clinic. But, no, we'll still win. We still should be able to beat them. Like, you'll probably kick, like, 6 or 7, but hopefully we'll still be able to kick a couple more than he does.
Yes. Jez, what do you reckon? You have any fears?
No fears at all. We are back in our traditional place. Marvel, Sunday, 4:40 p.m.
Yep.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. It's the first time we've been at Marvel since round four. We've played there twice this year. We've won both times. I think our players will relish being back there for the first time in a couple of months. And I think we'll get the job done easily. I'm confident.
So, what time? So the game will finish at what time? 7:30-ish? Based on the last time round, what time do we think we'll get home? Midnight? Based on the train on the trains Sunday night? And how much of Marvel Stadium's even open right now, by the way?
Architect will get home at 5:30, but yeah, and the rest of us,
because I'm going to drive.
Rest of us, yeah, about midnight.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you beat the traffic, you know the best way to beat the traffic is to not go, Architect.
I just might watch it on KO.
Yeah. Good point. Do you foresee any changes? Winsock 2000. Does Brian hold his place? Does Phillips come in? Do we go with just Sammy Draper?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it actually. Who's on the list? I think they did list Big Flipper as managed, rested. Wasn't it? Rested,
yeah,
managed is the correct term, which usually infers that they're meant to come in the next week. So I wouldn't be surprised if he came in, have a nice, comfortable game under the Marvel roof. But other than that, I'm not really expecting a lot. Maybe Davey comes back in while there's a rest, something like that. Nothing major.
What do you, anyone else foresee any changes? No, your cat got anything to say, Architect?
No,
hasn't been kicked in the last 5 minutes.
No. It's very disgruntled. She doesn't want to talk to me.
She all might be back, isn't it?
Yeah. Good point.
Brad was saying he's had like 3 very minor weird niggles that has kept him out the last couple of weeks, but he reckons he should be right to go. So.
Kelly?
Not really sure who makes way. Yeah, I don't know about Kelly. It's not a lot coming out of the Kelly camp, is there? So hopefully he's all right. Still struggling with the delayed concussion.
The thing is, Jez, given the way there's the cat appearing there, you're looking like Dr. No, their architect. Given Does Kelly walk straight back in, given the way our back line's playing? I don't know that he does.
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah. I think if he's fit, you take Hind out.
Mm. Yeah.
Two different players, though. What, and Hep moves a little bit further up the ground? Or has he been doing that anyway? Who's been back pocket? It's been McGrath.
Mostly McGrath, yeah. Mm. He just comes out of rotation, I think, Hind, maybe.
All right. Well, let's do our predictions and then we can fuck off. Jez, you start. What do you reckon?
We'll win by 28 points.
Oh, a clinic. Winsock 2000.
So I'd like to see us one up Collingwood and we'll win by 36 points. And we'll almost have lost it.
Yeah.
Media will tell us.
Oh, they won't. 4:40 on a Sunday. The media, it's just an irrelevancy. You know, it's into one of the cooking shows or whatever's going on Sunday night. No one gives a fuck about footy at that time. Architect, what do you reckon?
I reckon we'll win by around 35. And I expect the media to complain that the season's unfair because we got an extra day and North Melbourne didn't.
Yeah, good point. Yes. Yeah. And we didn't travel too.
Mm.
How dare we not travel?
Yeah. We do have the easiest round, as Kane Corns keeps reminding us. Every single chance he has the opportunity to.
So I can, speaking of wankers. all right. Well, I'm going to say 18 points. I think I might be a bit tighter. I don't think we'll ever be in any danger, but I do think the Kangaroos are improving a little bit. Maybe it's the coach resigning bounce that lasts for a few extra weeks than normal. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
Hey, who's coaching them now?
Anybody know?
Rats.
Like that. It's so irrelevant. Oh,
Rats.
Is it really? Well, there you go. There you go. Well, he's normally good at getting his teams to be competitive anyway. All right, well, this is really petering out. Any comments before we do the wind-up?
There's one very important thing happening today that is very important.
Going to mention in relation to our sponsor, but you go.
Yes, no, that's good. You've got it in hand. I didn't read the running sheet.
No. Well, it is our wonderful sponsor Fiona's birthday today. So I can't think of a better birthday present than for the listeners to get onto Something About Cake. Link in the description. Have a browse. Yeah, and you don't have to be getting married. You don't have to. Like, you can have cakes for divorces. You can have it for deaths.
Any occasion.
Your teenagers hit puberty. Your teenage boy's lost his virginity. He'd love nothing better than to come out of his bedroom with his girlfriend, and there's this big congratulations with a big cherry on top. Fiona could do that as well. There's so many other reasons to have cakes and just weddings. So I can see you shaking your head. So get on to Something About Cake, our wonderful sponsor, and place an order and wish a happy birthday when you do it.
Indeed.
Yeah, hit me up.
All right. Well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened, and we will see you next week.
Go Bombers.
Go Bombers.